Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
It's a Riverdale after show. Jughead solving crimes. DuPont doesn't want to do jail time. He flies out that window. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Riverdale after show, breaking down every episode. Riverdale airs Wednesday nights there on the CW. I'm Frank Moran.
And I'm Katie, and I'll be in the chat, which I know you guys have already been talking, but we're excited. Shout out to some Logan Knight, External Shockwave, Gracian Ryan, Jazzy Jones, you know, some of our usuals. Welcome.
And I am Dontara Terrell, and I am happy to be back.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Both Dontara and I were gone last week. Katie admirably held it all down last week. Look at that. The crowd went wild. Crushing it. We're just riding her with coattails for the rest of the season. That's what we're doing. And of course, making us look good and sound even better is Ryan.
Oh,
in the booth.
My gosh. I'm not even the one to blame.
Wow. Boy. All right. There you go. So, folks, we'll be talking about this episode. We'll be giving you some news and gossip. Of course, we'll be doing our class president and class clown. So if you've got your votes for the best and the worst people in this episode, start chiming away in the chat. And Katie will read them when we get to that special segment. But before we dive into everything in detail, what did the two of you think of this episode overall?
Okay, I really loved it in the sense that I love a good whodunit. And this one I felt like was the perfect way to do it. And it had all these good suspenseful, well, we didn't even know what was happening. So obviously we were kind of in the Stonewall preppies. She was a little bit too like, what's going to happen? What are they going to say? We don't know this part. So I did like that. And Grandpa Forsyth came back, which was, I love that. I'm going to give this like a 9 out of 10, honestly.
Wow.
I liked it.
All
I know.
Right.
It's a high rating. I know.
So, I mean, I loved it. It finally went down, y'all. Brett got beat up, and that's what I've been waiting for the longest. So, I mean, the rest of the episode, it was cool, but that was my favorite part. You know, the Jones men coming in, brass knuckles, giving it to them.
Yeah.
I mean, Brett definitely has been having that one coming for a while. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I have two minds about this. I feel like they dragged this out a little too long, and that the secrets revealed were things that we pretty much had put together already, you know, except for, I guess, the reveal about Donna, which we'll get to in a little bit. Yeah. So,
can I just say, I called it that Jughead was not going to be dead.
That's true.
I just want to give myself a pat on the back for that.
There you go.
Now I need to go to the police academy and be an investigator.
That's right, yes.
And it's interesting that you said you think they dragged it out too long, because last week I think the problem was they escalated things too quickly. Mm. So it was opposite of what happened last week, in the sense that last week I was like, wait, he's dead. Oh, wait, now he's not. And then this week it's like, so interesting.
No, that's true, because it went from, oh my gosh, he's dead, to, hey, all right, I guess what, guys, I'm really back, and I put it all together.
Yeah. So. And then this one, it was just slow.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, folks, I mean, basically, this, as Jughead even describes it, is a locker room mystery. He has spent his time in the bunker while everybody's been thinking he's dead. He's been, you know, he's got his boards up. He's got his photos. He's got his string. He's got his post-it notes everywhere. He's finally figured out, you know, what is tied to what and what is all behind everything that's been happening at Stonewall Prep since he's been there this year. And he and Betty then go back to Stonewall, make a grand entrance into DuPont's classroom, and says, hey, guess what? We're locking this door, and we're not leaving until the killer reveals himself. Mm. Exciting. And so then basically the episode is just taking us through everything that's been happening so far this season. I will say that I am happy in the sense, you know, this is what, episode
16.
16. So, you know, we've got, I think, either 22 or 23 episodes this season. So I like that it wrapped up this early. I'm glad that it did not drag out longer into the season.
Oh, true.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm hoping that this, I guess, the remaining episodes that we have maybe dives into what we've got going on with Charles.
Yeah.
Dives into the musical, you know.
I think the musical has nothing to do with anything else, okay?
Can you guys tell her excitement about this musical that's coming up?
For everything that they've invested this whole season so far, where we've seen flash forwards. Technically, we started at the end of last season with the season finale, starting those flash forwards all the way up till now. Did either of you find that the whole revelation, as laid out by Jughead and Betty, was it satisfying?
I mean, he's not dead, so I'm very happy about that. But yeah, I'd say it was satisfying. At first, I was a little on the fence about it because as much as we did not want him to be dead and we wanted it to be like a faking thing, it did kind of – I was worried it would feel like a cop-out. I didn't really get that vibe this week. It didn't really seem like that. They were very clever, and it very much reminded me of that Sherlock Holmes where he's dead also. I don't know if you guys watched Sherlock, but it reminded me of that. And I did like the way it all came into fruition, including the part where you find out that the speech Betty gave saying, we won't talk about this, we're going to go our own ways. We all thought it meant like that's how it was going to be. But then we find out it was this is the worst case scenario speech. Which we didn't know because it was just out of context. So I do like the way we got the context with it. So,
Dante, was this worth 16 episodes a season to get us to this point?
I think we could have got there in six, but that's just my personal opinion. I'm also not a television writer, so I get it. How are these kids' grades looking? I mean... They're out here solving murder mysteries and everything. I'm like, how are your grades looking, though?
Well, for sure, Jughead's isn't great. And we already know Archie's struggling.
I feel like we keep I keep forgetting, like I said, every episode, these kids are in high school. And they're doing big things to be in high. Like, he's faking his own death. I mean, yeah.
I know. It's like, just the life you've led just in high school alone. The things that have happened to you.
Ooh,
I took over a gang. I faked my own death. I wrote a novel a story that won me a contract for a major publisher.
Right.
Before he even left high school.
Yeah, but I definitely feel like it could have been a little bit more condensed. We could have got here in about 6-7 episodes.
All right.
Yeah. All right, but it's not a cult, okay? At least it's not the extended plot that was.
No, that's true.
This was a better story arc than that was, in my opinion. So
I would agree with you on that one. Yeah. I did like that cult from last season. Oh, Griffin's Gargoyles. I was tired of that storyline.
Yeah.
Jughead does start the episode saying that he had two obituaries written about him. Mm-hmm. One that was just kind of very perfunctory, and then one that had a little bit more of a little zing to it there by the blue and gold. Did either you have to do back? Was it, I think, in high school? It was like, write your own obituary. You know, what you want to be, do you ever have that writing assignment? I remember being given that writing assignment.
You were given that writing assignment?
Where you're supposed to write your own obituary, and it's supposed to be kind of like you're summing up the life you want to have led or you want to lead.
Yeah, no, we didn't get that writing assignment.
I know. I had a messed up high school.
Yeah, I feel like I wouldn't have been emotionally mature or ready to give an obituary. And the way I view death now than when I did in high school, totally different. So, yeah, I'm actually glad I didn't get that right.
Are you saying what, in high school you'd written like, I'm going to be a motorcycle stunt artist and I'm going to jump?
Right.
Is that really outlandish things? Or now you have some life experience, you'd be like, yeah, I better appreciate what that is.
I'll be like, Dontera was the greatest of all. let us list the ways.
I know I didn't have to write my own, but I think I might have had to do one for like, some sort of a history project for like a historical figure, but I can't remember. But that sounds more familiar than writing my own. There's no way my school would have had me do that one. Although I'm surprised they haven't done it on the show.
That's true. That's true. I mean,
dark place.
Guys, you're in detention and you have to write your own obituary.
Ryan said, not obituary. Where would I be in 10 years? Sure.
Sure.
Okay.
All right.
Yes.
I guess we got to go all the way to the end. You got to write. He had it right, when it's come down to the end. But we also see that he has a wake held for him, too, as well. If you guys had faked your own deaths, would you want to watch the wake or the funeral? Would you want to see who came, what they said? Or you're like, I don't care. I can move on and do my own thing.
So petty me is going to say I need to be there to see who showed out, who shed a tear, who said what. And then the people who didn't, I could hold it against them. Like, oh, so we wasn't right. That's the petty side of me. The mature side of me will say, no.
All right.
On one, I'm well loved. Oh, sorry. On one side, hell yeah. But if no one shows up, I don't want to see that at the same time. You know, like, what if no one shows up and then you just get more depressed?
No, no, no. So I'll be there.
It's like a catch 22 for me. But at the same time, who wouldn't want to see that and just know what people say about you when you're passed?
True, because...
And a morbid, it's a little morbid, though. I don't know.
I was about to say, when people pass away, they always say in their speeches, like, they're watching, you know, they're looking down on us, watching us. So, I mean... There's
what if you Tara. Really are?
Technically. They're there anyway.
She's got her binoculars up. She's got her listening devices planted so she can hear everything.
I'm like mm-hmm. not crying hard enough.
I mean, I already wrote my obituary, so I, you know, I know my great life that I led. So
I'll be there.
Oh, Brian.
I'll be there for you, Frank.
I'm so touched.
I mean, are you doing a speech or are you just going to show up?
I'm just showing up. Glasses. Oh, okay. I'm going Rocky IV style.
Oh, all right. Okay. I got it. They also, one other thing, they hired Hermosa to be a PI for them. That's what she does. You know, another thing that you don't usually normally do in high school is hire a PI.
Look, what was a PI in high school? I'm like, that's a real job?
But have you ever thought, like, hey, thinking whatever I want to do with my life, the idea of being a private investigator ever come into your orbits is like, oh, that could be kind of interesting. I'm my own boss. I make my own hours. I get to choose what I want to do.
Well, I mean, I kind of was a PI. I had a grimy little boyfriend. The way I put those pieces together.
Oh, all right.
Friends come to me. I'm like, oh, she liked the last three posts? Hold on. Let's dig a little deep.
Dantera, all right. I do remember one of my friends, when I was living in Florida, went to one of those security stores or whatever and bought lock picks and a lock. And he would sit there and he would just practice trying to pick a lock. And I always thought that was kind of cool to know to have that skill.
Mm-mm, can't be trusted.
Can't be, what, picking a lock?
Yeah, he's going to school, like he's trying to learn, that just piqued his interest to learn how to pick locks.
Oh, well, I guess I can't put anything, hide my valuables.
Exactly.
Yep.
You thinking you locking stuff up around them, you come back like, wait, I could have sworn I had.
There you go. So, of course, nobody wants to be in this locked room with Jughead and Betty because they're going to be explaining it all to them about everything that's been going on. I feel like DuPont is probably the one that's... I feel like DuPont and Brett seem to be the most uppity about it, though. Certainly, as we learn that DuPont's got certainly a lot of skeletons in the closet. As they started going in, who did you think what was behind the murder or the attempted murder of Jughead? Did you think it was an all-for-one kind of deal? Did you think somebody was a mastermind?
I thought it was... I didn't think it was necessarily one person. I think it was sort of a combination of everyone. That was my initial thought. Well, I've been saying that since the beginning. It was sort of all of them. They're all weird.
All right.
I didn't know. You know, last week I thought, okay, Donna's the mastermind of this when we found out that she was the one manipulating multiple people. But... it's been constantly changing, so I don't really know what I expected at this point. Because whatever I expect is probably not what it was, which it wasn't. You know, the whole twist with Donna, and I didn't. None of us could have. I don't think any of us last week predicted that it was the granddaughter of this and that person.
Mm-hmm.
So we all went totally different routes. So you know, they surprised us with that.
But Donna was always a little creepy, though.
Oh, she is. Oh, no, I'm not going to deny that.
Yeah, but I don't know if you would have immediately jumped. I could understand what you're saying, Katie. Yeah. You're like, oh, yeah, clearly she must be related to somebody that died previously in a horrible fashion.
True. Yeah.
And she's coming for revenge.
I found that interesting, too, how the generations sort of intertwine, like her grandmother, and then you have Jughead's grandfather, then you have the professor, like that whole generation.
Yeah, you know.
And now it's, you know, this new generation sort of seeking revenge for their ancestors, for their families.
That's, true.
Yeah.
I still don't know if because they finally explain why Moose was there, why Moose left, why Mr. Chipping threw himself out the window, why Jughead was there. I don't know. I mean, as they are starting to layer on all these other reasons, I'm like, all right. There's a point in this episode where I'm just like, okay.
There's a lot of wheels and
you're like, got it.
Gears in this story, yeah.
They made it, it's like they figured like, okay, this could be the mystery for the season, but now how many more complications can we add to it to make it just seem really dense? And I'm like, didn't need to make it this dense.
Well, maybe they thought it had to be more complicated so that it wasn't easy to figure out. I don't know.
I guess, but it's just like, we already knew that, we knew so much from the beginning of the season that, you know, DuPont had already stole, or, you know, I mean, he paid for, but really exploited Jughead's grandfather, took this Baxter Brothers novel and then built this empire out of it. So he felt like he had to be behind a lot of the stuff that was going on the season. So mm-hmm. It didn't, when these revelations started coming out, it didn't seem like a huge, like, whoa, I did not see that coming. It's like, I pretty much kind of guessed that, or, you know, so I felt like a lot of the revelations, other than Donna's, were like things like, we pretty much knew that. I mean, I guess you just sat there and you walked this down beat by beat by beat.
This is why it could have been done in 6 to 7 episodes.
But with the whole fact that the Baxter four being victims of all the previous Baxter ghostwriters, I was not seeing that at all. I mean, I figured they were dead, but if you guys did, good on you or any of our viewers who did, because that surprised me. I thought that was a twist I was not expecting. But then it made sense when you're like, oh, when they say you joined the Baxter Four earlier on in the season, now you realize, oh, mm-hmm. he was supposed to be the Baxter Five. Be the Baxter Five. And so I just wasn't as quick to catch on to that. So if anybody did, props to you, because that did shock me. But maybe I just wasn't observant enough.
I also don't know why Stonewall, you know, if a teacher had already thrown themselves out a window earlier in the year, like say, you know, maybe we should put like a trampoline or something underneath the windows.
A trampoline.
Or just like an awning.
I thought you were going to say bars.
Yeah, no, I am so glad you mentioned that, because I thought that too. And Billy Jean Girl 24 said, man, they should have really had some people outside the window to catch him if we jumped. And that's exactly what I thought. I thought, oh, they already covered this. There's going to be like a parachute out the window. Oh, no, he did.
and they showed the body to make sure that y'all
figured out everything else, but didn't think to put a parachute out in case he were to do the same thing or put bars on the window. So we all on the same page here on that.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, he's gone.
That's why I would like the trampoline, because then you could have seen him watch him crash through the window, fall down, and then he just bounces back up. It's like, what?
But what if he would have, like, jumped and then slightly missed the trampoline and still, you know.
Okay, but at least you would have known that they planned for it. So, on a side note, Logan Knight does not think it could have been done in 6 to 7 episodes, since it would have been rushed and too much information. So that's what Logan Knight thinks. I think it might have been a little rushed, but then Jazzy Jones also said they still tied it all together well, better than the Farm and Gargoyle King storyline. We're all not fans of that storyline, so, yeah.
I mean, you may have been able to do it in 6 or 7 episodes if it was solely this storyline.
Yeah, true.
Trying to weave in Veronica and Archie storylines, I think that would have made it tough to maybe do it in 6 and 7.
Okay, well, Salad. Fewer episodes. Maybe not 6 and 7, not literally, but fewer episodes.
I get you.
I mean, there's not a huge amount to break down this episode. Which is, you know, I guess in a way we get questions answered, even ones that you didn't want to have answered or know you needed to have answered. But one is about Donna. So as we've kind of chatted about here, we do find out at the end of the episode, Betty goes to confront her because everybody else is kind of making their pleas. Jones got diplomatic immunity, which, you know, it was, you know, what the lie that Donna told Jughead was that, oh, it's Brett who's got diplomatic immunity. Not true. He does not have that. But Joan is able to leave the country, and if she leaves, she can never come back. Mm. Okay, great. See you later. Poor Jonathan, he's still got food poisoning, I guess, so who knows what happened to poor Jonathan. Brett. Oh, yeah.
He's dead. Didn't they say it last week? Oh, yeah. Like, Donna said something like, you'll end up like Jonathan.
Yeah, he still got food.
Yeah.
That food poisoning is a killer. It is. We see Brett get a little brass knuckle convincing from FP and Jughead to give up the locations of the sex tapes. And it is nice when they do come back into the room that Charles has been talking to Brett in, and you just see Brett just beaten and bloodied. Can barely talk, but...
Well, see, at first I thought they weren't going to show his face because the camera was just on the side. I'm like, no, show that face.
Yeah,
and then they showed it, and I'm not going to lie. My smile so big. I'm like, finally, thank you. That was the most beautiful sight ever, seeing his face all disfigured and blood and swollen. Yes.
I think we were all smiling, and I feel like it's really messed up that we were all smiling, that this guy just got the crap beat out of him, but...
Was it karma?
Karma. That's a good way to put it. Yeah. Karma.
I'm like, so what?
That doesn't
really
make me
up?
Feel bad. Karma.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Not what he put Jughead through and, yeah, no. and Betty. And the fact that he was going to be spiteful and send out those, give out those sex tapes. He tried to use that as a barter deal. Yeah, no. No, sir. You got what was coming and like what you deserved.
I like that they were on standby. Charles is like, if this doesn't go well, y'all going to be in here to talk. Beat the sense out of him, said, or beat the sense into him, I guess.
He said, let me think about it. I'll be right back.
All right. He was like, well, there you go. And then we find out Donna. Betty goes to confront Donna. That's one last T to cross and I to dot at the end of this episode. And says, hey, we find out what your real deal is. We had a, you know, Hermosa, our private investigator, found out that you're really the granddaughter of one of the original Inner Circle that DuPont killed. And she created the Tracy True character. Mm. So she wants to take the Baxter Brother contract, change it into Tracy True, and create a whole new series of novels. But Betty says, you know what? You need to walk away from this, or I'm going to tell everybody that you were behind this all, because you don't get to have this contract after what you tried to do to Jughead. Dentary, do you agree or disagree?
I'm sorry. I agree, but I just don't like – but why are you going there by yourself, A? Also, why are you showing your hand? I was just saying, like, did she have a knife on her? Did she have a gun on her? In case we know she's a little... Did she have a tape recorder on her? Like, I mean, so you're just going to go in and threaten her and sit in the dark? No, 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 no. I need my backup team. that was my yeah. only thought about the conversation. I'm like, seriously? Okay.
I mean, it feels like we've closed the book on our Stonewall Prep students, but we know Riverdale likes to reach back into the past to bring characters back when you least expect it. Out of the Stonewall Prep characters that we've met so far this season, who do you think is likely to come back and how soon?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, I like this question. Who's the most likely to come back? I mean, Joan has immunity, so there's literally nothing they can do if she does come back, really.
True, although so, she's not supposed to be able to come back in the country.
Oh, yeah, that's what they did mention yeah. that. But I don't know.
Mr. DuPont can come back from the dead.
Yeah, that's true. Yep.
No one ever really dies in Riverdale, as Cheryl
yes.
says.
Yes.
So
he could fake his death too.
I don't know.
I mean, I feel like it comes down to either Brett or Donna.
Yeah, Brett or Donna.
I feel like both. Honestly, I don't see this. They had such a significant role this season, just shutting the book or shutting that chapter. On both of them, I could see both of them coming back.
And we also know that Donna has been visiting with what's her name from the farm.
Yes.
The farmy. Mm-hmm. And I hate to mention the farm, but we know that they have not finished with that plot line. We
please,
know they haven't.
Please.
Because they keep bringing her back. And because Donna has that connection, I feel like that would be another thing she might come to try to rebuttal it.
Oh, so Donna's just getting started.
Yeah. She's more. She's more.
Well, I mean, we know that last episode that Betty was given the spot for Yale because Jughead was supposedly dead. Mm-hmm. And Brett says, it looks like we're going now. But now that Jughead's back, but Brett has got his halo tarnished, do you think Brett loses his Yale scholarship and it's given to Jughead so that both Jughead and Betty can go to Yale?
Or Jughead and Betty are just going to stay in Riverdale.
I mean, I don't really know that any of them are going to leave Riverdale.
Yeah.
But that's... we can save that for...
All right.
Another prediction. Discussion.
Prediction. Yeah. Predictions? Question mark? Is that going to happen? So everything's hunky-dory back in Riverdale now. We see Jughead's grandfather. He sticks around to have dinner with FP. So that's nice to see if that relationship can be repaired. And then we've got the core four hanging out at Pops, making a vow that, hey, you know, we said it before that we're going to have a great senior year. This one sucks so far. We've been faking deaths. We've been putting on masks and fighting vigilanteism out there.
Getting arrested. And
yeah. So we've been doing all that. So let's make the remaining time here a good one. And let's see if we can get Jughead and Archie to graduate on time with their pals. And then your boy Kevin, Katie's boy Kevin, shows up saying, hey, guys, you got to be in my musical.
Well, he's at open mic tomorrow, didn't he? I don't know.
Katie
the point
Beam.
Was...
Katie Beam, she's like, yes, you all need to be in that because it's my favorite episode of the season.
Yes.
it's sad because I love a good musical episode. Emphasis on the good. So if they do a good job, I'm all for it. I'm just not not convinced. So.
Well, all right. About the musical episodes, Katie.
Yes.
If you were to power rank the three that we've had so far, would you put them in descending order? Has it just been getting worse each season? Or has something been better than the other?
Okay, so last year was Heather's. That was the worst.
Okay.
What was the year before that? You guys just have to refresh my memory. Was it... Because I don't remember exactly what the, what they were.
Yep, we had... Yeah. We had Carrie was one of them.
That's right. Carrie was the year before that.
Yep, and then we had...
Did they do one the first season?
They did.
I'm rapidly finding out.
Because, okay, thank you.
Because that's when Alice does that whole kind of meltdown on the stage where she's singing to Betty.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
season was 2 was Chapter 31, A Night to Remember.
Okay, yeah, but that wasn't what musical... That doesn't tell us what musical it was.
Based on its... Based on its musical, clicking.
The suspense.
The suspense.
I know. It was, if any of our chat knows, too, you can help us out because I'm having drawn a blank here.
Chime in.
Oh, it was Heather's.
Heather's was last year. Carrie was the year before. Or was Carrie the first
year?
Carrie
was the second year.
Yeah. And then the first year was, I can't remember. I don't remember the first one being terrible, though.
Oh, you don't?
I don't. I mean, I don't remember it, but... I feel like it can't. Like it can't be too great if I don't remember it. I keep wanting to say Grease, but I know it wasn't Grease. Okay, that's Jazzy said they started in season 2. That's what I thought. Okay. I don't think there was another one.
Oh, so it's just Heather's and Carrie?
Yeah, I think so.
And now it's Hedwig.
Oh, and then they made it a.
All right, great. Yeah, so it's the third
Carrie
one. Great.
And Heather. Heather's.
Wait, apparently there was a musical performance though in season 1.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Of I'll Try.
Yes, there were musical moments because of Josie. Yeah. So, okay, Carrie, I did not mind as bad. It kind of fit with the theme I felt more of what Riverdale was in season 2 and season 1. Mm-hmm. And you know, Carrie is a horror type thing, so it made more sense to me. Heather's just I didn't buy it as like a subplot, I guess, and that's why I didn't like it. So hopefully, I don't know, with Hedwig, I don't know what to expect. It's an interesting choice.
I'm excited to see your reaction.
I know, everybody is.
She's going to come through with bullet points and be like, okay, so this is exactly what I was talking about.
Yeah, so.
Well, folks, of course, we'd be remiss if we didn't look back on this episode. We saw some excellent people. We saw some evil people. We saw some class presidents, some class clowns. So let's get to the hottest segment that is just sweeping the interwebs. Class president and class clown. We celebrate the best, and we reluctantly jeer the worst. Dontara, class president and class clown?
Class president is Jughead. I mean, he did a lot these last few episodes. Mm-hmm. And just trying to think ahead, maneuver, mastermind. He's living in the dark underground world, like, with no, like, immediate... I don't know. That was just a lot for me. I was going to say, like, immediate just interaction with the outside world. And then also, he said in the episode something like he knew they were going to try to frame it on Betty. So that's why he didn't want to go to the hospital. That's true love right there. That's a real one. And then, of course, my class clown is y'all boy. Mr.
DuPont?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. It's obvious that he's been a clown since the beginning of everything that he's done to other people. So, nothing new.
Katie?
All right. Well, my class... I'm going to do class clown first. Class clown is Brett. For... Literally, you're going to mess with the guy who took you down in one punch. Really? You're going to try to think you have cards to deal? And then he gets beat up by the serpents. He is the clown in that episode to think that this is going to go anyway his way. And class president, Team Jughead. I mean, they were on them every little moment. They figured it all out. And it was beautiful. They finally got a little bit of hope and in this whole entire craziness that's gone on this season. So Team Jughead, for sure.
Oh, nice. I can't argue with those choices at all. Anybody else have anything different in the chat, Katie?
Jazzy Jones also said that the president was Jughead and Betty, and that the Stonies were the clown, and as well as Logan Knight, he said as well, Team Betty for class president. But what made me laugh is that he said class clown is Team Stone Trash, is what he has been referring to them as. All right. So I thought that was funny because he called them Team Stone Trash. So, I like and then Mercenary X84 said Welcome, Mercenary X84. I did not recognize that, but, so welcome. Class President, Jughead, Class Clown, Brett. So they're all pretty much on the same page as us.
There you go. They just, yeah. You know, just get those bare knuckles. Those brass knuckles. Good times. Good times.
Yes, good
times.
Reward
Brett. Folks, you know, there's so many things happening in the world, and Riverdale is no exception. There's a bunch of news happening for Riverdale. We're throwing it over to Katie at the Riverdale News Desk.
As most of you know, I found this out. I prepped my news segment, and then some other news came out, and I know most of you have heard that Riverdale has ceased production for the time being due to someone in the production coming into contact with another person who tested positive for the coronavirus. So on top of all the stuff that's been happening with cancellations and things getting halted, Riverdale has also halted production. The statement was that we are working closely with the appropriate authorities and health agencies in Vancouver to identify and contact all individuals who may have come into direct contact with our team member. The health and safety of our employees, cast, and crew is always our top priority. We have and will continue to take precautions to protect everyone who works in our productions around the world. So they don't know how long, but they need some time to figure it out and hopefully get the things back in order. So that's that news. In other news, KJ Apa has a new film coming out this Friday, on Friday the 13th. Interesting day for them to release this film. If you guys have not heard about it, they have been showing trailers for it during the show. It's called I Still Believe. It is a faith-based film based on the life of Jeremy Camp, who is a Christian singer-songwriter, and it is his love story with his wife, Melissa. And it's a story of, like, kind of losing faith, but also hope as well. And it, I don't want to spoil it because I do know the story, what's going to happen, but it is their love story. And that comes out on Friday. It's starring, forget her name at the moment, forgot what the name is right now. So, oh, Britt Robertson. I had it there. I was like, okay. And that's another picture, if you guys are watching, of KJ performing. Jeremy Camp is a singer, so he sings in the movie. And also, there were some friends joining him for the premiere on Saturday that were some familiar faces, because he was joined by Charles Melton and Casey Cott, who are both his Riverdale co-stars, and they looked dapper, and they were having some fun. You know, they were goofing off, being weird, which I kind of like. I like that his other castmates were there to support him. So, yeah, that movie comes out on Friday.
Oh, good. Now, Ryan has turned the mics off, so if you want to just tell us the plot of this.
Oh, the plot of the...
Yeah, the movie.
Movie?
Yeah, just spoil it for me.
You want me to tell you? I was like... I feel like other people might get mad, but it's going to be a very emotional movie for sure.
Now, Katie, you've already bought your tickets there for opening night.
No.
But you're going to as soon as the show's over.
Of course.
Of course. There you go. Look at that. Folks, before we wrap up, though, a little round robin of predictions, I think, is in order.
Yes. After Buzz TV predictions.
Because I know, Donterra, you've got predictions.
Ooh, I've been waiting.
Yes. She's like, yes, let me put my prognostication hat on.
So, by the end of the season, Betty and Archie are going to get back together. That's why Cheryl was like being an instigator. I was like, are you sure that's all it was? Was it fake? And then remember last week, they sort of extended their text message exchange, the cameras. And they was like, no, I don't want to write that. Oh, let me write that. Oh, and you saw the little bubbles? Something's going down.
I can say you're not throwing those lines out if you don't really have any intent on revisiting that idea. I just don't know if I'm jazzed about that idea.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I'm jazzed about it either. I was just jazzed about the fact that I put it together. See? Put my PI skills together.
That's right. Katie?
My prediction is we know that FP is leaving at the end of the season. And now we have Grandpa back. So I think Grandpa is going to be a replacement. As sad as that is, I think he might be a replacement to FP somehow. Don't know how, but it kind of seems like that might be the direction they're going because they brought him back. And he's reconciling and all that stuff.
It'll be interesting to see what happens with FP to tee him up to leave the season. Mm-hmm. If it's,
yeah.
It seems at least from the stuff that you've talked about on the news before, they're always welcome back to Riverdale. So
yeah.
I don't know if we're killing him off or we're putting him in prison or he needs to leave for some reason to protect his family, requires him to leave Riverdale. So yeah, I'm down with Jughead's grandfather kind of being that paternal figure for him.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. Folks, you know what? We're going to be gone for 3 weeks. The show's on hiatus until April 8th when the Hedwig musical comes live in your face thanks to Kevin's artistic direction. So I know with 3 weeks off, we have to relax and drink up because we're going to be relaxing there for 3 weeks. So we'll be doing that, but we hope that you will join us when we all reunite here on April 8th for Katie's favorite episode of the season. Get excited, people. But thanks for joining us here for the Riverdale After Show. As always, like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and thank you, everybody, for hopping in the chat. But if you're watching after we've streamed live, feel free to comment down below. I know Katie will be kicking back with a nice ice-cold Corona and reading these chats, your comments there in the chat. But if you want to stay in touch with any of us, even after the show's over, Ryan, you're doing so many things here.
Thank you.
Where can they find you to keep track of all the incredible things you're doing?
Oh, golly. You can follow me at Ryan Nilsen, R-Y-N-I-L-S-E-N, and on Star Wars News tomorrow, 4 p.m., with James Lott Jr. as the special guest that week. So tune in, Popcorn Talk, 4 p.m. PST. Katie, where can we find you?
You guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at KT_Christine. Or you can find me on the Batwoman After Show at 1010 on Sunday nights, or the Con Guy Show on Monday nights on 1010 over at Popcorn Talk Network, which is also produced by Ryan. So.
Yes.
Nice. And you can find me on all social media platforms at Dontara Terrell, and that's D-O-N-T-A-I-R-A. And I just want to challenge you guys to come fully dressed and prepared for the musical episode. Okay.
Ooh, are we challenge doing accepted.
Are we doing... Okay, perfect.
Oof. That's rough. That
you can't agree to that right now?
I can't agree. Oh, man. Dontara talked to me. We talked a little bit about things I can't stand. Dressing up is another thing. It's not
add that to
that
the
list.
Yes.
Folks, follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. Folks, we'll see you back here April 8th with an all-new episode of the Riverdale After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV.
Hi.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.